From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, saluting fancy managers everywhere. Those who triple captain McTominay at Old Trafford. Those who got in Gaeta for the Liverpool game. It is a fine line between success and failure in FPL. Coming out, we've got another half hour of tips on chips and chatter on transfer matters to keep you on the right side of it. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Season's greetings, fantasy friend. I'm James Richardson. With me today on the official FPL podcast, fantasy expert Sam Bonfield of the FPL family.
Hello, James.
Hello, Sam. Football writer Julien Laurent of ESPN and left field decision making.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, Julien.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. And former Pro Now pundit co-commentator Sam Parkin.
Good morning, James.
Hey, Sam. Yeah, Sam, currently leader of our guest league.
Big smile on his face.
What's your secret? What's your secret, Sam?
Listening intently to the likes of Sam Bonfield early in the season and stealing everything. And just hoping that she's going to implode like she did this week. But
It was a total catastrophe, James. No, so I'll take
was it,
that.
Was it, though? Was it the total catastrophe game week 14? I don't feel
not
it.
Not just game week 14, to be fair, Sam.
No, I was top until game week 14. And then I used my captain's armband very poorly last week and it all went horribly wrong.
Back to
much me. Like my beloved Spurs.
Your back team to is me. In tier four as well, Sam. Your team is in tier four too.
Well, that is true. It is. No fans allowed.
Very much in tier one is Sam Parkin. Sam, seriously, what's been the key for you?
I think a good wild card. I think in the international break, week five, I believe. And I had the kind of short list of guys I wanted to get into the side and been pretty consistent with them. And I've only had really one issue in the squad. I haven't got enough money to get KDB and Kane in the same side because I've got Fernandes and Salah. So I've continued to rotate them and I've got quite lucky. And it's meant making another change because obviously they're in different positions. Kane's a striker, KDB's a midfielder. So I've had to rotate those two. And to this point, it's gone quite well for me. And the captain picks have been great the last few weeks. Obviously, the Salah issue on Saturday. I've never been so low and then so high in 90 minutes of football. I was at Brentford covering a game, devastated because I knew that he was potentially going to be rested, but I still went for it stupidly. And then obviously what transpired.
Wasn't so stupid in the end.
It was glorious. It was glorious. Hearing it come down my headset was even better.
I was going to say, I wondered how you were when you saw that he was only on the bench. And I feel a few millions must have felt exactly like you.
Yeah.
Where you almost want to give up basically on playing this game once again.
My girlfriend has a habit of humming the Salah, Firmino, Mane, Liverpool song, Terrace song. She was humming away on Saturday morning after the decision had been made to put him on the bench. And I was like,
you know, she was trolling you.
She has no idea about football, but I was like, not today. You cannot do that. He's ruined my Saturday already.
Well, 1.3 million managers had captained him. He was the top pick for the armband, but he came through with 16 points. Fernandes was the second most popular captain. He had 1.1 million, slightly over backers. And he did pretty well, of course, against Leeds at Old Trafford. And really, getting the armband right was, as ever, absolutely key to who had a disappointing weekend like Sam and who had a pretty monster one like me. But we can move on at this point.
I wondered when you're going to mention that. Because 102 points for you who've been so bad for so many years. This is pretty impressive.
he suddenly knows how to play, Julia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So just to say that you're not wrong. I was doing badly, but I leapt with that one score 1,200,000 places in the world.
Wow.
That brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Thanks for being with us, Jules, Sam, and Sam Parker.
Pleasure. Well done, James.
Anyway, all right. Well, so the captaincy was huge, and we'll discuss captaincy choices at the end. And it's weird how often that becomes a kind of last-minute kind of rush. Crikey, who am I going to give the armband to? But it's so crucial to get it right. Other big scorers in game week 14 included El Ghazi, who, like Salah and Firmino, got 16 points. Thiago Silva got 14. But the biggest scorer of all was Scott McTominay. 75, but still pretty amazing that it was even 75. Managers captain Scott against Leeds. And he's got ownership of only 0.3%. So that was pretty incredible. Also, shout out for the 541 managers who captained Ashley Barnes, three of whom triple captained him, and thus got a triple on his 8 points. That's pretty amazing. Managers, eh? Less successful were those Sam Bonfield who captained Son or Kane. Both of whom blanked.
Thanks so much for bringing this up.
But it's important because they've been...
Yeah, they've been so good. And I think, you know, particularly with Kane, his record against Leicester in the past has always been so good that actually it made perfect sense to captain him this week. It just wasn't to be. Spurs had a very much of an off day. But I don't think it makes Kane and some bad assets moving forward.
Good. All right. Well, speaking of moving forward, let's have a think then about what's coming up on Boxing Day and beyond in Game Week 15. All right, Game Week 15, in which Sam Parkin will be defending his 9-point lead at the top of our guest league. 9 points, that's tight. Across the following fixtures, Leicester kick things off against Man United, that's Saturday 12:30. Then you've got Fulham Saints and Villa Palace at 3. Arsenal Chelsea, Saturday tea time. And then in the evening, Man City Newcastle and Sheffield United Everton. On Sunday, midday, it's Leeds United against Burnley. West Ham take on Brighton. Liverpool are up against West Brom. Ooh. And then at 7:15, Wolves Spurs. Crikey. Where in the wide world of fancy Premier League do you want to start from that lot? Jules.
I think the Arsenal-Chelsea game is a very interesting one. It's the 5:30 kickoff on your Boxing Day, so you'll have time to, you know, enjoy the day, and then you can sit down and enjoy that game. Because I think any team that plays against Arsenal, you should get their players in your team because you're almost guaranteed a win. You guaranteed goals because they always concede, and you probably can have a clean sheet as well because, you know, apart from a penalty, they don't create too much. To be fair, so I think it's interesting if you have Chelsea assets and if you think about Chelsea assets. I think Mason Mount with Hakim Ziyech maybe coming back for this game, probably. I think there's still a debate over who's going to start up front between Abraham and Giroud. Abraham, who did so well at the weekend. What do you do with Timo Werner? Hasn't scored now for 9 games for Chelsea. Maybe it's time to get rid if you have him. But I think Mason Mount, with all his energy, all the activity, I think that there can be some big points returned in that game for him.
Right, he's on corners, which makes him attractive. But you think maybe Ziyech's return could impinge on his minutes?
I would be surprised if Ziyech starts, though, after missing 4 games already since the injury, I think. So I would think Mount would start and will be on set pieces duties, as you said. And again, I think all that energy and everything he brings going forward, I think could be a very good asset.
Now, you touched on the debate about who's going to be starting up front. Tammy Abraham, who's in a rich vein of form, 5 goals, 2 assists so far this season, and he's only owned by 2.3%. It's not that expensive either, 7.2 million. Giroud, though, up against his former side, and you know, we know what an interesting combination that can be. The other thing it's worth touching on with Chelsea is their defenders, who scored a third of their goals so far this season. However, Ben Chilwell looks like he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
And Reece James
as well,
still carrying a flag for that knee knock. So what's the story at the back, do you think, Jules? And which one do you think will get the nod up front?
It has to be Zuma and Thiago Silva. I mean, you know, a few of us have either one or the other. And I think they're so good on set pieces. I mean, Zuma, no one has scored more goals on set pieces than Kurt Zuma, although he was Thiago Silva on Monday night against West Ham who did score on that corner. But I think either... Let's not forget, though, that Thiago Silva will be rested at some point during this quite hectic Christmas period and you know, end of the year period. Although, you know, Chelsea have a pretty good fixture list, to be fair, and time to rest between games. But still, I don't think Thiago Silva will play every single game, whereas I think Zuma will. And up front, it would make sense that even if Abraham scored 2 goals against West Ham, that Giroud, who was just rested for that game because he'd played a lot before and did quite well and scored regularly, that he comes back, especially against Arsenal. So I would expect Giroud to start that game.
Okay. They are having the double game week, though, in game week 19, which if you're doing the free hit 18, pile on 19 routine, which I think a lot of us are, makes them an attractive club to invest in. How long do we think Reece James is going to be out for, though? What's the word on that knock? Does anybody know?
Doesn't sound like it's going to keep him out too much longer. I think it's a good point that Jules raises, really, because if he is available, Azpilicueta over to left back is probably an obvious shout. I think looking at this game, looking at all the departments of every side, I would still favour going for the Chelsea defenders. I really would. I think it will be low scoring. I think Chelsea will win. I think Mendy's a great option now. 10 clean sheets in his first 16 games is exceptional going. The only one bit of light, I suppose, for Arsenal is that they beat them in the cup final, playing that really direct style. If Aubameyang is available, they'll try and replicate that. But I think Zouma playing right-hand side of the centre-half duo can potentially match those runs of Aubameyang if he does start on the left-hand side. So I wouldn't be completely surprised if Arsenal produce something in this game, but you have to fancy Chelsea. You have to fancy it to be tight, and you have to go with the guys who are consistently playing rather than a bit of Lampard roulette, I suppose, at the front end of the pitch.
All right, okay. So you mean like your Mason Mounts and that?
I think Mason Mount plays, but I think ahead of that, it's a bit of a lottery still. I think Pulisic is still waiting to come back into form. Werner's having a bit of a difficult time, and there's the Abraham Giroud conundrum as well. So I wouldn't be confident enough to go for any of them right now.
Okay, all right. Sam, tell us then instead about your thoughts on Leicester City against Manchester United.
Well, I was amazed to see that Leicester haven't beaten United since 2014. It was that 5-3 game, the Di Maria chip. And I think because Vardy broke the run of goal scoring in this fixture, we think that Leicester have got a good record. Well, it's anything but. United have won the last four, won the last seven out of eight. And I think going into this game, if you look at everything that's preceded it this season, Leicester struggling at home, taking just 9 points out of 27. Manchester United, unbelievable, away from home. And then you look at the individuals involved. Vardy, 9 of 11 of his goals have come away from home. That's 28 of his 101 fantasy points, which is just incredible. And on the flip side, you've got Fernandes, who's sensational, away from Old Trafford. And Marcus Rashford, I didn't realise this, has not got an attacking return at Old Trafford this season. He's got 9 goal involvements that have all come away from home. So if it's going to go with form, you have to fancy United, I think, to continue in this vein. And those two players in particular, Fernandes is a given. And I think Marcus Rashford comes into probably people's thoughts, considering what he's producing in the away games. And I expect them to probably continue because Leicester just are a different animal at the King Power in comparison to what they produce on the road.
Right. And have you bought in Scott McTominay, Sam?
I haven't, James. I'm not fully buying into the Paul Scholes and Roy Keane comparisons just yet.
Okay. All right.
I will hold fire on that one. But listen, if he's going to get a bit more license to get forward, why not? And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer clearly rates him highly. He looks like he's going to feature most weeks. So he could be someone in the kind of, I don't know, Suchek mould that people could have in their squads maybe as that first substitute.
Scott McTominay currently at 4.9 million of your fantasy pounds. He's only owned by 0.5% of managers worldwide, but he does have a flag because, of course, he came off at the end of that Leeds game with that groin injury, 75% chance of playing. Okay, I mean, there are loads of great numbers about Leicester. Jamie Vardy with double-digit hauls in two of the last three game weeks and 5 clean sheets for the team. So far this season, 2 of them coming in the last 3 game weeks. So they have had good form, Leicester. But as you say, Sam, when they're at home at the King Power, they are a very different beast. And Man United on the road, we all know about their numbers. Sam Bonfield, tell us about Wolves, Spurs, two teams coming off big disappointments last weekend.
Yeah, I think this one's a really fascinating game for me because Wolves obviously have had a really mixed bag of late in terms of the results that they've picked up, but also the injuries. They've had some injuries to really big players, none less than Jimenez. And for us as FPL managers, we're kind of looking at that Jimenez injury, thinking, well, who is going to be the man at Wolves that steps up and takes his place? And there was a lot of chatter in the community as to whether it was going to be Silva, whether it was going to be Neto or Podence, which one of them was going to be. Now, Neto is the highest points scoring player among the sub £6 million midfielders. So on paper, he potentially looks like the best option. But Fabio Silva did score his first Premier League goal for Wolves in game week 14. And so maybe actually he might be worth a look. But for me, it's Daniel Podence, who's the one that is really standing out for me amongst the Wolves attacking players right now. All four of his Premier League goals have for Wolves have been scored against London clubs. And this season so far, he's had a 9-pointer against Chelsea, 9-pointer against Arsenal, and the same against Palace. So he does seem to like to play against London clubs, which doesn't exactly bode well for Spurs this weekend. Having said that, Spurs are on the back of a series of difficult results, with the draw against Palace, the loss to Liverpool, and then obviously the beating by Leicester in game week 14. So I suspect that there'll be some bounce back from Spurs, given how angry Mourinho's been in the last few weeks.
Man City are up against Newcastle, which suggests ka-ching, fat returns for those Man City attacking midfielders, etc. But which ones are going to play, we don't know. Equally, Liverpool up against West Brom. So, you know, West Brom, who've got Big Sam in, but shipped three goals last weekend. What do you think? Is it Liverpool? Is it time for a Salah and Mane double up? And what about Bobby Firmino?
Bobby Firmino is really fascinating for me because for most of the season, he's been really good in terms of how he's played for Liverpool. But from us as FPL managers, just not at all. But actually, his records in December are obscene. If you look at his numbers across the month of December, he regularly gets high points returns. And we've already seen in the two games he's played in Premier League games so far that he's got a goal against Spurs and then obviously a brace and an assist in game week 14. So he's on fire at the minute. And the way that Liverpool are playing without Jota has given him a bit more freedom to get forward. I think when they're playing all four of them, he tends to be the one that doesn't go as much. So the injury to Jota actually seems to have benefited Firmino.
4.2% ownership, so he's a differential. 9.3 million is the price. As you say, that hasn't produced huge returns till of late. I didn't know this about him and December. Sam Parkin and Jules, are either of you tempted?
I'm actually contemplating going for a Manchester City or a Liverpool defender. I've had a couple of injuries in those positions. I had Lamptey and James recently. So I just think with the likelihood of clean sheets, especially with this game week coming around, that's maybe where I'll make my change. I'm thinking Cancelo at Manchester City. I know that he's owned by quite a lot. Go on.
Well, no, I've got him and it's been a total disaster.
I thought that was the injury shake of the head that I'd missed. But
no, it was
he's provided, I think, the third most crosses behind KDB and Mahrez, and also the third most key passes. And I know he's only got the one attacking return so far, but I think the clean sheet has got a great chance and potentially he's going to turn a corner in terms of his providing of goals. The other one is Matip, potentially at Liverpool as well. So I think, again, the likelihood of them keeping clean sheets is very high moving forward. And I'd want to get Mane probably lined up for the double game week, but I won't be doing anything before then, I would say, on that front.
If you're really brave, you play John Stones. You get Johnson. That's the hell of a differential because he's hardly played. And now suddenly, Laporte is on the bench, apart from the League Cup game in midweek against Arsenal, and John Stones plays. And you're like, well, okay, how long will he play? No one knows, not even Pep, I think. But Ruben Diaz is certain, but I think he's got more ownership, of course. But John Stones is like, wow, that's a huge differential.
John Stones has returned in four of the last five game weeks. 6 points, 6 points, 8 points, none, and then 8 points. He's only owned by 2.2%, yeah. And his price is a low 4.9 million. He's got lovely hair as well.
He's got lovely
John
hair.
Stones.
Yeah.
Let's now turn our thoughts more to the long-term planning side of things with the long view. Long view time, Fancy Manager. We've got our Premier League fixture difficulty rating chart up. And actually, looking over the next 6 weeks, I'm seeing that a team called Burnley have got a tasty run of fixtures. A team called Burnley, who started to put together a nice run of results. Obviously, the Monday night victory over Wolves being just the latest of them. Burnley assets?
Tarkowski, we were talking about defence just now, about Liverpool and City. But you know, when you look at, you're right, the fixtures coming up with, I mean, Leeds you never know. But then Sheffield United, Fulham, then obviously they don't play, then West Ham before Liverpool. Someone like Tarkowski, who's 5.3 million, so really decent amount, only owned by 2.2% of the players, could be very interesting. And if you don't have Pope, if you want a goalkeeper, I think Pope, again, same idea, could be very interesting.
Now, Tarkowski's 5.3 million, but higher scoring than him is his teammate, Charlie Taylor, who's owned by 5.2%, comes in at a bargain, 4.5 million. There's a lot of chatter from informed folk in the fantasy community about Charlie Taylor. Should we all be getting on this fellow?
Yeah, that's right, James. And he gave an assist as well in their game on Monday.
And I think it's also with Charlie Taylor. He's an FPL fan favourite. So when you're in the Twitter community talking about FPL, it always feels like Charlie Taylor is owned by like 100% of the game. But actually, he's such a differential pick. It really is just that little Twitter bubble that loves him. He's got potential for attacking returns. His ICT points rack up quite quickly. And that means he's also quite good for bonus points a lot of the time. So he's definitely one to watch out for in terms of those additional points he can pick up for clean sheets and all of that sort of stuff.
ICT points being, Sam?
Influence, creativity and threat. So every player gets points for all of those things across the game, depending upon how many blocks, clearances, things like that they make. And those points accumulate into the bonus point system. So it makes them more likely to return those additional potential 3 points that they can get.
Very nice. Any other Burnley assets that we're getting hot for?
I mean, last week also felt like a return to FPL of old, didn't it, with Wood and Barnes both on the score sheet. Now, I'm not sure that Burnley will ever be that high scoring. They don't tend to score a lot of goals. But having said that, Barnes and Wood both offer some good potential for attacking returns over the next few weeks. As we say, with the likes of Lee, Sheffield United and Fulham, who haven't exactly been keeping a lot of clean sheets lately, there could be goals in there for those guys. And they're relatively cheap for forwards.
I mentioned the fact that people who are wondering about what to do about Kane and Son, they should have a look at the fixture list because it's about to get a lot rosier. They do have a slightly trickier fixture this time round, away at Wolves. After that, Fulham at home, Leeds at home, Aston Villa and then Sheffield United. Now, they've only got one fixture in game week 19, which won't affect everybody, but if you are planning to have your team in place for maximum impact across that double game week, and that's something we'll touch on your tactics that very shortly, that might influence your thinking. But we've all got at least one of Son and Kane. Sam, possibly you've got both, Sam Bonfield. Anybody else got both?
Me as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Okay. And are you sticking with both, or what's your approach?
I don't think you can take them out ahead of that run of fixtures, even in the double game week in game week 19. The fact that they play Sheffield United, that is one of those fixtures where, as FPL managers, you should be a bit cautious of taking them out, because there are always single game week players with really nice fixtures that everyone that's trying to maximise the double game week move on for a double game week player. And sometimes they just outperform what you can get across the two game weeks, particularly if the managers decide to rotate across that double game week period. So for me, be wary of taking out Son and Kane. If, like Jules and I, you own both, then there's obviously the scope to lose one of them moving into that double game week. But I think with the fixtures coming up the way that they are, even against Wolves and the way that Wolves will try and play against Spurs, there's points returns potential for both Son and Kane across all of the next four fixtures. So be warned if you take them out.
Fair enough. At the other end of the fixture difficulty rating chart, difficulty ratings, kind of colour scheme thing, as we see that Newcastle have got really terrible games coming up. So if you're a Callum Wilson owner, might be time to consider other options, other cheap options or sort of mid-range striking options for your team. Is anybody... I've got Callum Wilson and I am looking at a sneaky sideways shift to Shea Adams of Saints. Any other options that people might want to look at?
I suppose Bamford and Ollie Watkins kind of fall into that same category. But Watkins has been one of the players that I've been using to release funds, really, when I've been changing between KDB and Kane. So he has played quite a lot for me. But he just looks like the most unlucky man in the world at the moment, because he had two ridiculous goals chalked off due to VAR. And scored massively, didn't he, twice, I think, against Liverpool and Arsenal. And other than that, it's not really happened for him. So I'm growing a little bit frustrated. So I think I'm going to persevere with Bamford, even though He does still pass up a number of opportunities. He is Bielsa's man. And especially in those away games, he's another one who is doing outstandingly away from Elland Road. And you just think he could turn that home form around as well, given that he's going to play every minute.
Well, a couple of other quick questions before we move on to that game week 18-19 business. One is about Jack Grealish, who I think everybody apart from you, Sam Bonfield, has in their side. Villa got tough games coming up. The other is about Leeds, who are the team, certainly across the next six game weeks, who have one of the best sets of fixtures coming up. Jules, last time you were on, you flagged up Rafinha way ahead of the curve on that. You didn't bring him into your team, sadly for you. Have you got him now? And what other Leeds assets should we be across? Their games coming up are Burnley at home, West Brom away, Spurs away, and then they've got nothing in 18 but two games in 19.
I didn't put him in my team because I'm a giver. You know, that's why I'm a human charity. I gave it to all our listeners just before Christmas. And then he's been good. He scored straight after. He gave an assist on Saturday, despite the defeat against United. So he got you, I think, an average of 4.6 points since we flagged him up on the show. So good. I think I might bring him on now because I agree with you. The fixtures are great. My friend Jack Daniels, who is in private mini league, has took him after we mentioned him on the pod and he's been very happy. So I'm a bit jealous too. I think Harrison, if you don't fancy Rafinha because you don't like his hair, I understand. Go for Harrison if you want. His hair is not great either, but similar profile. I think all of them, you know, because they create so much, there will be a point where it works out for, I mean, we saw Harrison being quite fantastic on the Rodrigo goal, for example, the other day. And then his own goal right at the end when he just ran the whole pitch. So they've got all that energy. I think they're brilliant to have. It comes with risk because sometimes they can blank because they still lack a lot of efficiency for what they create. However, I do think that on certain good days, they will bring you a lot of points. So Rafinha, Harrison, Bamford, like Sam rightly said as well. I think for me, all of them are really, really good potential assets.
What about Grealish then? His returns, he returned this weekend against West Brom. In fact, he returns regularly every three game weeks. He'll do nothing for a couple and then bam, you'll get a double-digit return. It's been that way all through the season. Tough games coming up for Villa. He's 7.8 million. What's everybody doing?
Too much of a risk, I think, to probably persevere with him after this week. Definitely have him in against Palace, but the magnitude of those games that follow and not having two games in a double game week will probably mean that I'll have to bring someone else in. I think there's some great looking midfield options when they're playing twice a week. I think West Ham going to be really tempting with, I think it's West Brom and Burnley at home in quick succession. So the majority of people have got Suchek, Bowen, I think Fornals as well could be options for that week. I worry about Grealish in the top games, even though you think back to last year and I think he got a brilliant goal at Old Trafford and generally everything does go through him. That inconsistency does worry me that it's 15 points one week and then blanks for three and then he'll return again.
But then his biggest points tally are in the big games against Liverpool, of course, which was a free game, but still against Southampton. Even against West Ham, which are all teams from the top five, really, right, or top six right now, or where about for West Ham. So there's also an argument for him doing quite well in the big games against teams that will play a lot and Villa will play on the counter-attack.
Jules, you keep him in and I'll just extend that margin. No problem at all.
Wow. Crikey.
No problem.
The biggest question in terms of our long-term planning, though, for now, has to relate to Game Week 18 and 19. And we'll be touching on that next with this week's Twitter question. Supery Dupery. So this week we asked you on Twitter, hashtag FPLpod, what is your chip strategy for blank game week 18 and double game week 19? 18, there's only five games. 19, there's 15 fixtures. 10 teams have a double set of games. Here are some of your answers. Jash is going to make a team for game week 18 and use the free hit in game week 19. Joel says balance out eight players for each game week, saving free hit and bench boost for further blanking double game weeks in the future. Interesting. Ashy, my first wildcard before 16. Ooh, you lucky thing, Ashy. With double game week players. then used the free hit in 18, and then bench boost in 19. Right. Ericuda, master plan, save free transfers, news at game week 17 to make a double game week 19 team, used the free hit on game week 18. Yep, that sounds good. Andre only found out about the blank game week 2 weeks ago and has already used his free hit. So he's building a team for game week 18 and then hoping that triple captaining Salah or Bruno and praying in double game week 19. Which sounds about right. All right then, Sam Bonfield, what's your chip strategy? Are you free hitting 18, piling on 19?
Okay, so when this originally came out, I thought I will just play for a team for game week 18 and I'll use my free hit in game week 19. But actually, since we had the announcement about blank game week 18 and double game week 19, we've had further announcements which suggest that the game weeks that follow, the further blank and double game weeks, will be just as big as these ones. So it's really important that we use our chips wisely, because we don't just need to cover these 2 weeks. We're also going to have a blank game week in game week 29. Because that's when the FA Cup semi-finals are expected. So we'll probably only have five or six fixtures that week too. We'll also have a blank game week in game week 33 for the EFL Cup final. But we would only expect to have two blanks at the most there. So that one should be easier to navigate. Plus, we'll have a double game week in game week 26 and some further double game weeks in other game weeks that we don't know about yet, but they will be small. It'll be just one or two clubs, so it's easy to manage those. So the reality is we're looking to manage blank game week 18 and blank game week 29. So for me right now, looking at my team, knowing I've got my second wildcard coming active in January means that I'm going to use my free hit to cover blank game week 18, use my transfers in the build up to game week 19, to make sure that I've got as many double game week players as I think is useful. But it will mean I won't have, and I'm not planning to have, everybody playing twice, simply because I think that there are single game weekers, as I mentioned before, the likes of Kane and Son, who could have really good game weeks that week. So I don't want to take them out on that basis. And I was originally planning to use my bench boost in game week 19. However, I think now, looking at the fixtures in the way that they are, I'm probably going to use my triple captain in game week 19 instead.
Give it
to Salah, in all likelihood, with the fixtures the way that he has. And that will allow me then to keep my bench boost for one of the later double game weeks, probably double game week 26, and play that chip there to boost me through. And then I'll have my second wild cards to get me through blank game weeks 29, which I think is going to be quite a key point. And so if you haven't already thought about when you might use your wild card, or you're thinking about your second wild card coming active and I might use it straight away, just think about how you might manage that second blank game week, because it's likely to be just as big as the blank game week that we've got in game week 18.
All right. Salah's fixtures, by the way, in game week 19, you're talking about potentially triple captaining on. You're not the only one. Man United at home and Burnley at home. And of course, at Old Trafford is where Salah is traditionally at his deadliest. If you still have your first wild card, don't hang around too much longer with it. You've only got a couple more weeks of feeling smug about that. It has to be used by the deadline of game week 16, which is December the 28th. Broadly, Sam Parkin and Julian Laurens, do you agree with do you agree with Sam Bonfield's tactics there, or you got a very different approach?
Well, that was an education.
That blew my mind. I have to say that blew my mind. And I'm not going to what I'm doing this weekend, so let alone game week 29, 38, 64, 73.
So let me ask you another question then. If we are building, and this seems to be, to me, the wisest thing, to free hit 18, or, you know, just get through 18 in whatever way you want, but build your team from now on towards 19, who are the essential picks for the double game week? The teams that, out of the 10 teams that have double sets of fixtures, Chelsea, West Brom, Saints and Leeds kind of leap out at me, and Liverpool as well.
Yeah, I'm going all in, James. I'm doing exactly what you just said. I'm going to play the free hit, but I'm going to build towards game week 19 right now. And there's not too much to do, I don't think, in my squad. And I completely agree with Sam about the potential of Kane returning big at Sheffield United. But I just look at Salah and Mane for that week. I think Vardy as well with two home games. Bamford, another one. I've already spoken about the West Ham assets. So listen, I want to go all in now, try and get that margin at the top of the division. And then
what happens when you get to the top of the league? Sam's got the power's gone to his
and
head.
And if I have the inevitable implosion in the spring, I will come on this show and go full Kevin Keegan in front of the watching and all the viewers can hear me go absolutely insane if I blow it. But I think it's too tempting to not do that, especially the way my team's looking, because I don't have too much surgery to do before game week 19.
As an aid to your planning for game week 18 or 19, whatever your strategy is, make sure you check out the fixture difficulty rating chart available at fantasy.premierleague.com. Up next, let's look at transfers and captains. So, Sam, Jules, and other Sam, what moves are you going to make for game week 15, Boxing Day and beyond? And who's going to wear the armband? Transfers, first of all, Jules.
So I'm really happy with my team. And I will keep Grealish, I think, just for this week, despite what Sam, top of the league, Parkin, is saying. And then I'm quite happy. Sam, not so much top of the league, Bonfield, convinced me to keep Kane and Son when I was thinking maybe I was not so sure about keeping them both, but she convinced me. So I would be with both of them. And then maybe putting John Stones for Holgate. I had Holgate and I'm not so convinced with Holgate. So, but that's it. I don't think right now it needs a lot of work and I want to keep transfers for maybe the following game week. So,
all right. Sam Bonfield?
So I had a Lamptey-shaped problem in my team. It's becoming a bit frustrating because it's like one week he'll play, the next week he won't. You never really know where you are. And couple that with the fact that Brighton just haven't been keeping clean sheets. I kind of had enough. At the same time, Leeds' fixtures are improving and Dallas is scoring goals. So I've done Lamptey to Dallas this week. I still do have one more free transfer left, which I might think about doing something with Chilwell, depending upon what news we get about his injury and how much he's likely to miss out. Because if he's not going to miss out for very long, I'll probably hold him. But if he's going to be out for a few games over Christmas, then I might go Chilwell to Matip and enjoy those Liverpool clean sheets, which should surely come.
Okay. Sam Parkin.
Shock horror. I might not do anything this week.
Yes.
I might just hold.
If it ain't broke.
I might just hold back one of those substitutions a further week on and then with an eye ahead to game week 19. If I do anything, it'll be like Sam said, to get rid of James or potentially Lamptey and just get someone who's more guaranteed to play. And I've spoken about Matip, Cancelo and maybe Vestergaard at Southampton, who looks like a really nice pick at the moment. And other than one tough fixture, I think their run of games looks pretty nice. So maybe an alteration at the rear.
All right, Sam, you're on top. And as a great manager once observed, when you're the king, you can do what you want. What about captaincy then? This is crucial. Game week 14 underlined how every other decision pales into almost insignificance compared to who you give the armband to. Some of the key options might be from the Liverpool-West Brom game, from the Man City-Newcastle game, potentially from the Arsenal-Chelsea game even. What are your thoughts? Sam Parkin, first of all.
It has to be Salah for me. I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking next week about Kevin De Bruyne getting 30-plus points if you did opt for him. It's going to happen, I think. But I just think Salah is the safest bet. Fernandes is a nice pick. Bamford could come good home against Burnley. But I think Salah's consistency has been way above anyone else. And I'll continue to back my man.
Liverpool are playing West Brom. Who was the last visiting manager to win at Anfield?
Big Sam.
Yeah.
Jules, what about you?
So I'm keeping that rule that we mentioned before from Mark Southern, our friend and colleague, about not having a captain who plays against the top six teams. So no Bruno Fernandes against Leicester or no Jamie Vardy against United. So I'll probably go for Kane. I agree with Sam. I think this is a game against Wolves, even if Wolves also like playing on the counter-attack. I think it's a game where Kane or Son could do really well. So I wait a bit and I pick one of the two.
Okay. Sam Bonfield.
Yeah, I'm with Sam on this one. I'm going to captain Salah this week. I just don't think that there is a better opportunity to captain somebody at home where they are at their best against a team that, much for Sam Johnson's attempts at saving the goals, always seem to concede a fair few. And I suspect that the Sam Allardyce effect will not be enough to stop West Brom conceding a fair few at Anfield this weekend.
All right, then. Well, we shall see what we shall see when game week 15 concludes. In the meantime, many thanks then to Sam and Jules, and have a very happy festive period.
Happy Christmas, James.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah. And you too, listener. By the way, if you want extra resources to build your team for game week 15, get across to fantasy.premierleague.com. There's loads of great articles, scouting stuff, and of course the FPL show with myself and Jules Breach. We are back next Wednesday at the same time, so hopefully you'll be joining us for that. For now, from all of us here, it's goodbye.